Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Jones Zone. Today, we're going to have Mike Birnbaum. He is a home inspector I've known for decades. It's funny. I was telling him offset just that when I first got into real estate, we actually didn't have home inspections. We kind of did that at the walkthrough near the end of the escrow. And boy, it was really caused everybody to get nervous. I remember bringing a blow dryer or a nightlight to the walkthroughs. So we just plug it in to check all the plugs and see if they work. Faucets, etc. Finally, the industry wised up and thought, let's get these home inspections done at the beginning of escrow opposed to the final walkthrough near the end of escrow. So any problems that need to be addressed can be addressed in a timely fashion. So, Mike, thank you for coming and joining us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, I really appreciate it. So let's just dive right in. So I've got a list of questions I'm going to just ask you. First one, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been doing
this. Sure. It's coming up on 20 years for me. I mean, and like I said, we've known each other for a long time. You were like one of the first realtors I think I started working with almost 20 years ago now. Yeah. So, you know, my background was in a professional life. I was a logistics person and that was my career. But I was at a point in life where I needed to make a change. And I had a handyman business that I was doing on the side when I was, you know, in my professional life. And I had a lot of people that said, you should think about doing home inspections. You know a lot about a little bit about a lot of things is what they would always tell me. Which is a key element, I think, in home inspections, because you don't have to know everything, but you have to know a lot of things. So I took the advice, and I kind of looked into different ways of setting it up, whether I wanted to go as an independent or if I wanted to go as a franchisee, and it just made sense for us to do it as a franchisee. So I went into, joined with National Property Inspections back in 2004, and it's been almost 20 years.
You know? Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks.
In many ways. So, can you share a memorable or unusual experience from one of your home inspections that left a lasting impression on you? I know that we all have stories in our lives. So, yeah. Does anything pop up that was memorable?
There is one. I was doing an inspection, it's probably, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 years ago. I was down in South Orange County, Laguna Niguel. Nice, beautiful big house. It was a vacant house, though. And during the inspection, normally we are testing spa tubs and drains, and we fill things to make sure that it holds water and that nothing leaks and stuff like that. And I'll never forget, I was upstairs, master bathroom, had a spa tub, filled it up, had it plugged, tested the, you know, jets and everything. Everything came on. And I go to pull the plug to let the water out, and the agent's downstairs, and she urgently is like, Mike, Mike, Mike. And I'm like, I come downstairs, and there's water running, pouring out of the chandelier mounted underneath the bathroom.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. I mean, we were both like shocked. We're like looking up and going, okay, well, that's a problem.
Yeah, that person needs to know.
Yeah, so never forget it. It's probably one of the most things that sticks most in my head as far as, I mean, I've seen all kinds of things. I mean, I've done thousands of inspections over the 20 years that I've been doing it, but that one just always sticks in there.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. Yeah. So there's obviously a process. I'm guessing you have a checklist that you go through and you check. And just for those of you that aren't exactly knowledgeable, what Mike does is when you buy a house, you want to have the home inspected because oftentimes a seller doesn't even know what may be wrong with the house.
Sure.
And certainly the buyer doesn't. So he goes through and checks all the systems, checks the plumbing, checks the... Yeah, actually, tell us what you check.
Yeah, I mean, we basically are looking at all the physical attributes of a property. So we're going to start from the roof all the way down. So we're going to look at all the structural elements. We're going to look at the electrical elements. We're going to look at heating, air conditioning systems, plumbing systems, all of the physical attributes. And even to the point where we're checking windows and doors and flooring. You know, if you have a second story house, you know, sometimes floors can be a little unlevel. You know, so those are all things that we're kind of looking for because they can all mean something in a property. And our job really is to help our client understand the physical condition of the property that they're interested in purchasing or selling. I mean, because we do inspections for sellers too.
Right. Yeah. If you're thinking about, yeah, especially if someone inherits a house, which I have a lot of clients that have a house inherited and they haven't, it's a 50-year-old house, yes. and they've never lived there, that we can do that. Yes. So tell us, what are the most common issues or concerns homeowners typically overlook when it comes to home maintenance?
The thing that always surprises me is people, like, I think we're inherently get complacent with our properties. And, you know, or we look at things and we go, oh, well, I'll get to that tomorrow, or I'll get to that next week. And then all of a sudden it's a year later and, you know, it didn't get fixed. And it could be things like faucets that are leaking or corrosion on angle stops underneath your sinks. I mean, those are all things that lead to problems. And typically they can, you know, be found out if you're just, you know, once in a while you open up the closet or you stick your head underneath the sink and you take a look at it. You know, so just general maintenance things, you know, are a lot of things that come out in the home inspections, you know, unless somebody's really good at a maintenance schedule, you know, type thing. So there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, sometimes electrical outlets, someone will pull an outlet apart because they want to change it out and they'll disconnect the ground wire and they'll forget to put the ground wire back on. And when you go through an inspection and you put a circuit tester on it, you're going to find an open ground on the outlet, you know. So those are very common issues. You know, a lot of times air filters in heating air conditioning systems, they forget to change them, or they forget to clean them. And then, you know, sometimes you'll go into a bedroom and you'll see dust and dirt that'll be on the register blowing out of the register because the filters haven't been cleaned or the ducting hasn't been serviced or the ducting's been disconnected in the attic, and you'll get something that'll be drawn into it and it'll start blowing around. So a lot of, you know, deferred maintenance type things that people really overlook, you know, are very common to find in inspection.
Well, I'm not surprised. I actually didn't, when I first started, bought a house for the first time, I didn't realize till probably a year into it that we had to, or more, that we had to change those air filters.
Mm, exactly.
I think I had the recommendation is probably twice a year.
Yeah. Or, yeah. You know. Yeah. At least once a year, you should be looking at that stuff. Like every 6 months, you know, is probably a good, you know, rule of thumb, you know. So
what advice would you give to first time homebuyers to ensure that they make informed decisions during the inspection progress? Do you have any advice?
I do, actually. I mean, because one of the things that I think sometimes, obviously first time homebuyers are super excited, and it's such a big step in life for everybody when you're buying that first house. My thing, though, is I think a lot of times they get so excited they forget to pay attention to details. And what I'm referring to basically would be is, my suggestion would be is when you have a home inspection done, make sure you read your report from beginning to end. Don't just skim over it and, you know, try and remember what, you know, your inspector did at the summary, you know, or when you talked at the summary and stuff. Because those reports, they're usually nowadays, they're extremely thorough. They're very detailed. They give you a plethora of information as far as the physical condition of the property. And you're going to have a good understanding of what kind of condition that property's in if you read the whole thing. And sometimes there's problems that are identified in that inspection report that people overlook, you know, because they didn't read the report completely or didn't pay attention to all the detail that was in the report. So I think for first-time home buyers, I encourage them, and even when I do like a summary review, I'm like, make sure you read it front to back. Look at all the pictures and stuff. If you have any questions, let's talk about it again after you've had a chance to digest the report a little bit, just so that you have a good understanding of what we found today during the inspection. So I think that's probably the number one thing.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. In fact, I always encourage my buyers to be there for the inspection. Is that something you would recommend as well?
Yeah, I do.
Probably slows your part down
a little bit. It does. I mean, and I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, I encourage people, and I tell everyone, listen, I'm real easy to work with. If you want to be there the whole time, that's fine. Be there. It's a great time to get a feel for the house. It's a great time to start thinking about where you want to put your stuff, you know, and just kind of start feeling your home again. But it gives us an opportunity as an inspector. What I like to do, and I explain to them, is like, at least then if you're there and I do come across something that's pretty significant that I feel like I want to explain, because it's sometimes easier to explain it in a condition and show them the condition than them trying to read it in a report and trying to figure out what you're trying to say. So it's definitely beneficial to have them there, you know? But like you said, it can slow down the process because sometimes clients are a little overzealous and they want to know everything, and they want to know about the little crack in the ceiling, or they want to know about why is the wall a little unlevel, and that can be a little daunting, honestly. But you know, we want to make sure that the home buyer or the client is comfortable, you know, and you know, I kind of direct it a little bit, and I just say, listen, I'm going to cover everything. We're going to talk about it at the end when we do a summary review. We're going to identify conditions for you. We're going to explain stuff for you. And then I always offer up for him too, is like, you know, while you're here and I'm here, you know, if I'm working and you're looking.
Is it, Is it true you go lock him in a room sometimes?
Well, sometimes you feel like you want to. But no, I even offer up to them and I say, listen, if you see something that you have a question about, ask. Don't hesitate to ask. But I also tell them, like you were saying, is to kind of keep the timing down, is I also say, listen, I'm not going to stop at every little thing I see and show you and discuss every little thing that I see, because I see a lot of things, you know, and I document a lot of things, and you're going to get, and I always tell them, you're going to get an extremely thorough report. And they usually, once they've had a chance to read the report and we've had a good conversation after the fact, they're usually have a good understanding and they're comfortable and they're relaxed, you know, by the end. And they know that they're going to have a good amount of information that they can work through.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And besides, I often will also encourage them, and this is kind of to your point, is just let him do the inspection. Then at the end, he'll take you through it, because that's when you kind of go through any problems or any issues that you may find.
Well, in closing on that part, it's because then I've had a chance to physically look at the house and I have an understanding of what kind of condition the house is in. You know, because sometimes you have to look at things in a sequence. I mean, like if you're in Whittier where you're right on a seismic earthquake fault, you're going to see cracks because it's part of, you know, living, you know, in that area near a seismic fault line. You know, so then you have to assess the condition of the crack and what maybe caused the crack and how severe is the crack. But sometimes it takes looking at different things to understand that. And you can't just go, okay, well, that's a bad one, without looking at other aspects around it that could have created it, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
So, is it true that two things come to mind when you say that, what you said? It's funny, we have constant education, and we had an attorney into the office giving us our education to keep us up to speed on new laws, et cetera. And in the disclosures, he put on the disclosure, he said, small settling cracks in driveway. And he puts it on the screen, and room full of real estate agents said, what's wrong with this? And all the realtors said, well, I don't, nothing's wrong with it. Sounds good. He says, no, small. I mean, that's subjective. You know, it may be small to you, may be big to them.
Correct.
And when did you become a geologist? How do you know it's a settling crack? Yeah. So he said, just stick to the cracks in driveway.
But, sure.
Oh, and the other thing I was thinking of why I typically like to have the buyer there, at least for the end, for the overview, is because, and I use this example, loose electrical wires in garage, fire hazard, and that, you read that and it sounds pretty bad.
Sounds scary, but then
you go show them, it's just two wires that just need to have one of those twist things put on there. So, oh, okay. But, and I know that you have to be, and you, not to suggest that you wouldn't do this anyway, but because of litigious California, you know, for litigious reasons, you're very thorough. And another good aspect is, and just in case people are thinking of this, you don't offer repair work. So therefore you're completely unbiased.
Correct.
You go there
and
you're not calling out things hoping, oh, you're going to get hired to fix these things at all. So I think that's an important part.
Correct. Yeah. Definitely ethical in our perspective to not get mixed into that.
Yeah. No. So home inspections often uncover unexpected surprises. Can you recall a situation where the outcome of an inspection significantly impacted a home sale?
Yeah. You know, like I said, I've come across a lot of things, and one of the ones I've done recently, that was probably last year, I was in Palos Verdes doing, you know, beautiful home on the side of the hill. You know, you walk out on the deck and you're looking at downtown LA from the peninsula, beautiful, beautiful home. But, you know, going through the process, it was a two-story house and stuff. And it was had a mixed foundation, where it was raised foundation, slab on grade portions, just based on the construction. But it had a lower family room area that was above a raised foundation. And I walk into the family room, and the flooring is spongy. The carpet is spongy, and it was wet. And I'm like, uh-oh. You know, and then there was parts of it were, like, popping up. And when you went, and I went and stepped on it, it kind of, like, crumbled. I could feel it crunching underneath my feet. Long story short, you know, we, obviously, it being wet, there was some kind of plumbing issue, some kind of leak or something of that nature. So we got a hold of the listing agent. Listing agent gave us authority to pull up the carpet. You know, which, because we, inspections are non-destructive. They're just a general review of readily accessible areas. Everyone will tell you that. So we pull up the carpet, and there was pooling water underneath the carpet.
Ouch.
The parquet floor was buckled and lifting because of the parquet flooring was soaked from water. So the flooring was popping up, and it was causing all the problems. So that house, I mean, like I said, beautiful house, but then during the foundation inspection, where the slab was coming into the side of the hill, the whole slab was undermined. So like all the grading and soil and stuff was sliding out from underneath the slab. I could literally stick my hand in underneath the slab.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was, you know, I don't know the outcome as far as whether the buyers backed out of it or not, but there were significant issues with that house that I'm sure they got negotiated, you know, or they talked about price reduction or whatever. But yeah, it was a beautiful home, really beautiful home. But everything, sometimes, you know, the pretty ones can have a lot of problems too.
Now, we're talking about houses, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, thank God, though. I mean, can you imagine? And this is the reason you're here, is because the buyer buys that and they walk in there after the close of escrow and that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Talk about a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So, now, are there any lesser known factors about a home condition that can affect its value but are often underestimated? Anything you can think of on that question from
maybe the electrical aspect, like you were talking about. I mean, because a lot of times it's just simple repairs, you know, but if you don't fix things, and a lot of times it's, you know, I'll see like exposed electrical in attics. And it's one of those things that homeowners typically don't ever go into their attic.
Ticking time bomb.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it could lead to, could be a fire hazard, you know, if the electrical is not properly secured or it's exposed, you know, so it could be a little simple fix, but it could snowball into something catastrophic, you know, so. You know, I do see a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what we're there to do, is identify and look for those kind of conditions. You know, and the other thing would be, sometimes people get nervous when you say asbestos, you know, and a lot of the older homes will have asbestos ductwork in them. And asbestos technically is actually still a very good product. I mean, when it stays intact, but once it becomes compromised and it becomes airborne, then yeah, that could be like a ticking time bomb as well, because if you get that particulate matter that's now floating around in your house and you don't know that, and if you're susceptible to it, and if you have lung issues or breathing issues or whatever, you know, those can be issues. I mean, and, you know, so, you know, again, we look at that stuff and we identify that stuff when we're in the inspections or doing the inspections, and especially if it's compromised, you know, it's called out as a hazard, basically, is what it is. And even if I just see it, I make sure that the client's aware of it, that they do have some in the house, so that they can keep in their mind that, you know, they have to be careful with it, or if they have to double check it once in a while. So especially like if they're going to put things up in their attic and they're going to store stuff up in their attic, they don't want to push a box up against the ductwork and crush something, and then all of a sudden they don't know that they did it, and then you've got asbestos particulate floating around in your house.
Yeah, I think, in fact, most houses will have, because it's also in the glue and other things like that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Even like the putty around your, you know, like your drywall putty and stuff like that. Some of the older homes, you know, still had it in there because it was used in everything. I mean, it was used in everything in construction, basically. Yeah.
So what about technology? And there's so much new technology in the world. How has technology changed the field of home inspection, and what tools and gadgets do you most value in your work?
Well, you know, it's like you started, you know, in the beginning where you said they didn't even do home inspections, and then it went into where it was just a paper, you know, one page type inspection form. It's evolved now to where, you know, if you don't have a tablet or some kind of digital device, you know, to at least do your report on, you know, you're behind times, you know. But so that's like the number one tool, because I personally use a Surface Pro that has a camera and everything built into it. My software is set up to where, you know, I can take pictures and insert the pictures right into the software. You know, we do have, you know, like a software program that we can literally just, you know, it's like a drop down box. We can have predetermined, you know, comments and stuff in there that we can use, and we can edit. You know, so that's the daily tool, I mean, right there. But, you know, the technology is evolving. I mean, you know, now we have infrared cameras. Now we have sewer scopes that we're offering as home inspectors. We do mold inspections now, you know, and offer mold inspections. Now, some of the guys are out there doing that where they'll take samples. I mean, they're not doing anything analytical, or they're not determining.
Because they have to send it to a lab.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what happens. But, you know, they now have the gadgets and the tools to collect that information, you know, and provide that additional peace of mind or additional information. Again, I mean, because home buyers, everyone's a little bit different. Some people are like, mold's been around for 1,000 years. They could care less about it. But there's people that do have asthma, or they do have breathing conditions or stuff like that. They're a little bit more sensitive to it. So you have to, you know, the technology's evolved, I think, to help the buyer. I mean, in our world, I mean, you think about our world and all the gadgets that we have in our world now, and how it's helping enhancing everyone's understanding of things. And it's doing that in the home inspection business too. I mean, it's getting to be more and more gadgets and more tools that we have available.
Do you have a, and this sound kind of off the wall, but you have a moisture detector gun?
Yeah.
So you just point it somewhere and it'll tell
well,
you.
Well, that's like a digital thermometer. Yeah. You know, I have that. I mean, I do use an infrared camera. I have a, what's called like a Tromex meter. It's, you know, where it basically, you put it on the wall and it'll detect the levels of moisture and stuff like that. So like if you see a stain or something, what I would do, I mean, there are some infrared cameras and stuff now where you can point at things and it'll detect moisture and stuff like that. But, you know, at what I use is I use an infrared camera. I mean, if I see a stain, you know, I can pull out an infrared camera. I can, you know, do a quick scan of it, take a look at, you know, what kind of levels are there. And then I can confirm it with a moisture meter after that. Cause so it's, you know, it's kind of like wanting to make sure, you know, because sometimes stains can be just an old problem, an old leak or something like that, that, you know, was resolved, but just didn't get painted over.
Right. And actually for the audience, so they realize this. So what Mike also does, I wanted to bring this up because I think it's kind of important and really kind of cool, actually. You'll do the general overview, mm-hmm. and then you'll alert yourself. Let's say the AC's got issues.
Mm-hmm.
You'll say, look, the AC's got issues. And then you recommend have a specialist for a central
Correct.
Air come out.
Correct. Yeah. And that's just part of the overall part of the process because, again, home inspectors are meant to be generalists. You know, we're there to kind of give you a preview and give you some ideas, confirm conditions and stuff like that. And yeah, if we feel like it needs to be dug into a little bit more or researched a little bit more or evaluated, I guess is the best word to use, a little bit more, yeah, we're going to recommend like an HVAC contractor come out and further evaluate it or an electrical contractor come out and further evaluate it, so on.
Do you have any specific strategies to use to communicate the findings to your clients? Because I know, like you said, I guess you have to kind of read them a little bit because
sure.
some people may really have a big issue with certain items, so other ones don't. And that's funny because I get asked that by sellers. I say, you know what? It's just every buyer is different.
Yep.
I mean, some buyers are going to be really, really potentially affected by a certain finding, and
sure.
some will just go, I don't care.
Yeah, but, yeah. No, and I agree 100%, and you really have to understand your client and kind of read, feel them, you know, type thing and on the energy that they're giving you. For me, over the years, I've learned calmness is the best thing, you know, because every house, I've been in brand new construction houses that have had problems, you know, and I've been in 100-year-old houses that are, you know, have problems. So in revealing to a client, the best thing is to be just very calm, very cool. You know, don't be, oh my gosh, you got this going on. You know, you just state it for what it is.
Yeah, it's almost, there's very few flawless homes.
Oh yeah, oh
or
yeah.
None. Maybe.
None, really, in my opinion, none. I mean, I've been in brand new construction where the client has asked me to come out and do like their pre-walkthrough with them. And I'll find, you know, like the gas line hasn't been connected to the furnace in the attic, or I'll find like a collar nut on a P-trap underneath the sink hasn't been tightened down. And as soon as you run the water, the P-trap falls off of it. I mean, there's things.
Well, that's where I'm reminded of a new home that I sold, and it was a new build.
Yeah.
And the buyer wanted a termite. And I said, well, okay, sure, you know, we can do that, but it's a new build.
Sure.
And lo and behold, they found termites, and I'm scratching my head thinking, this is a brand new house. How can it have termites? And then through a few more questions, apparently the termites land on the wood before the house is built.
Yeah.
So it's built with termite in the wood.
Yeah, yeah, when it comes from the manufacturer.
You know, you'd mentioned earlier in the interview about maintenance things. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations what homeowners should do about maintaining their house? You talked about changing the air filters.
Sure.
Any other kind of advice you can give?
Sure. One of the things that we offer actually to our clients is we actually have like an electronic maintenance guide. And I think getting something like that in your mindset when you're a homeowner, because we all, you know, like every year we have to pay our taxes by a certain time. So if you really get into a routine and having a tool like that, and even if you do it yourself, I mean, if you create some kind of spreadsheet, you know, that lists like, okay, I changed my air filter on January 1st. I looked at my smoke alarms on March 10th. I evaluated my plumbing, you know, applications on whatever day. So, I mean, I think having a tool like that is important because then it takes out that, oh, did I remember to do this? You know, did I remember to look at this? Or, you know, and you just get yourself into a routine, you know, and it's very beneficial to stay on top of those things because, like I mentioned earlier, we get complacent. And then, you know, like, oh, did I look at the filter last year? Or did I check my smoke alarms? You know, but if you have that tool, I think is one of the smartest things to do.
Yeah. And then even, I mean, it's funny. I realized, well, years ago, insurance companies don't like vacant homes. They don't like when a house is vacant. And it's because, and I've seen this, where just a one little drop, a drop every minute. And then after a week, you got yourself a flood or new floor needs, some mold, everything. So,
Yeah.
It can be a little scary. But in your experience, what are some of the quirky or unusual features or design choices you've encountered during your home inspections? Anything come to mind?
You know, again, I've looked at thousands of houses and stuff over the years, and I remember one actually that quirky, maybe wrong, but I remember I was upstairs, it was a two-story house, and I was walking in the bedrooms, and it had laminate flooring down, and when I walked in, it was like spongy and soft. And it like flexed quite a bit. And I'm like, there's something going on here. And lo and behold, I was able to find out that the person that installed the laminate flooring, they didn't pull the carpet pad up.
Oh.
They installed the laminate flooring. They took the carpet out, but they didn't take the carpet pad out. And they put the laminate flooring on top of the carpet pad, which is like a foam, like a sponge, you know? And it was kind of quirky. Yeah. Was it wrong? Probably, you know. So, you know, you come across crazy things like
craftsmanship.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I'm reminded of, in fact, this one time, and I may have mentioned this before on another podcast, so forgive me if I did, but I had a house for sale, and I got a couple calls from agents who showed it was vacant, and they said, hey, you got a bunch of bees at your house, at your listing. So I went, I drove over there, and sure enough, there are hundreds of bees, and then through other research, more like thousands of bees.
Yeah.
Just going through the light fixtures, this and that. So I call my owner and let him know, and he calls who are we going to call? Well, a beekeeper.
So we
got a beekeeper over there, and he was going to be there at 11 o'clock. And I remember it was running a little bit late. I was around 11:05, and I see his truck, and I see him out in the front, and I go, oh, good. I wanted to see how you did this.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got here in time. I thought I was going to maybe miss you. He goes, oh, I'm done. I go, you're done? How in the heck did you get rid of thousands and thousands of bees?
Yeah.
And he goes, all you have to do is find the queen bee, and you take the queen bee, and all the other bees follow.
Yeah.
So it's, oddly enough, a pretty simple, once you find the queen bee.
It'd probably be a needle in a haystack, I would imagine. But
But he found it pretty quickly, with his experience and stuff. Yeah. But I didn't even occur to me. So that was my memorable story that I had to share. Inspections can be really stressful for both buyers and sellers.
Sure.
It's funny, because I tell all my clients, I said, okay, there typically is two hurdles that we need to get through. The biggest hurdles are home inspection and appraisals, oftentimes. Yes. So they are a big aspect, but they also are just well worth it. I mean, you can imagine just the one comment you got about the slipping your hand under the foundation.
Sure.
That would have closed escrow, and the buyer would, I mean, oh my goodness, there would have been not good. So any particular red flags that you can indicate potential problematic properties, even before conducting a formal inspection? In fact, sometimes we'll tell people, because I don't want to act as an expert necessarily too, but when windows don't close and open, that's an indication of some shifting, fair enough. And same with doors. But are there anything else, any particular red flags that you can kind of notice right away?
Sure. You know, like when you just start walking into a house, I mean, windows is a great example and doors are a great example. I mean, even opening and closing doors. I mean, if they're sticking, and when you look at the perimeter around the edge of the door, and if that gap isn't even, that's probably going to be a settlement-related issue, you know, and diagonal cracks. I mean, I always tell people, it's like, because you'll see a vertical crack, horizontal crack, which is kind of normal for drywall and stuff like that. But if you start seeing diagonal cracks, like over the doors or over the windows, again, those are going to be like movement-related issues, you know. So that's a simple thing to just start looking for. You know, another interesting thing is we've had some rain lately. I mean, and a lot of people are like, do you do inspections in the rain? I'm like, it's the best time to do an inspection, because you're going to be able to see if there's anything active.
Good point.
You know, but like when your foundation or your grading aspects, if you see water pooling around the house after it rains, that's something that you want to pay attention to, because if the water is pooling around the edge of the house, is it then going to wick into the stucco? Is it going to seep in somewhere? And then you're going to all of a sudden have water issues and stuff that you got to deal with. So yeah, there's just common things that you can look at. I mean, you know, I know another thing for me, years ago, I remember walking up to a property and I didn't even go on the roof yet. And I could just tell the roof was in rough shape, because there was so much reflection and like glare coming off of the asphalt shingle. And I knew what it was. It was, you know, basically the granular aspects that are typically embedded into a shingle were just eroded and gone. So now you're starting to see the fiberglass felt that is part of the shingle construction being exposed, and the sun is bouncing off of it. And you can tell that, you know, the roof is probably going to need to be replaced, you know. So there are things that you can, you know, when you start looking at a house and you start walking up to a house, you just kind of get into a investigative mode, you know, and just start looking at it. And that's, I do that all the time. I mean, as soon as I walk up to a property.
I'm reminded of, I had a landscape designer in here, and she talked about heat areas. And I never occurred to me that in the backyard, when you're doing your landscape designing your backyard, et cetera, she talked about multiple times about how important it is to figure out where the heat is. And everything, and I think some of it was based on reflection off windows, but probably roofs and everything for that matter. I had no idea that it was that varied, that this could be 10 degrees hotter or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sorry. I digress here. And then tell me this, what edit moment, that wasn't real smooth. What's the most satisfying part of your job as a home inspector? How do you feel when you help clients make informed decisions about their home?
The best part, you know, goes back to probably like the first time home buyer, because they're scared. They're nervous. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm spending all my money to get into this house, you know. But to give them peace of mind, you know, after we do an inspection, you know, is probably one of the most satisfying things. I mean, and when I can have a constructive conversation with them after I've had a chance to spend a few hours walking around looking at everything, and I truly tell them what I think. I mean, and you know, and they ask me, would you buy this house or not buy this house? I mean, I don't think I've ever said, no, I wouldn't buy this house. I'd walk away from it. There might be one or two times that I've come across houses that have been that bad where I'm like, yeah, you might want to rethink this one. But that's probably the biggest part is knowing that it's almost like they have a sense of relief after we've done a summary review. And they're like, oh, okay, we're going to be okay. And I'm like, you know, and the other thing, and I always remind people, it's like everything can be fixed. Everything, you know, in a house can be fixed, you know, and it's just a matter of what the level is, what your temperament's going to be, you know. And I try to identify like what's the most important thing that they should start with. And then, you know, you kind of work down the list and say, oh, you could probably live with this one for a little while and, you know, it'll be okay. And the client gets a lot of peace out of that and a lot of peace of mind out of that. And that's probably the biggest satisfaction that I get out of doing it. I mean, I like helping people understand the condition of the property, you know.
Well, it's funny because when the market, kind of like we are currently, where it's an extreme buyer's market, and it has been multiple years, oftentimes the buyers, one of the ways they can get properties is remove contingencies. Sure. So in a typical transaction, you have contingencies such as appraisal, loan, inspection, disclosures, preliminary title report, natural hazards report, and a slew of other things. And one of the things that people will oftentimes remove appraisal, and that to me is no big deal for a buyer, but I tell you, I would never, ever recommend a buyer not to do a home inspection.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just, and it's funny, even representing sellers, when buyers say that they don't need to have a home inspection, I say, no, you know, rethink that. We really want them to have a home inspection, because not only that, it for a seller's perspective, I mean, you could may or may not be thinking, well, you know, maybe the seller would be easier if the buyer didn't have a home inspection for the seller, but not really, because if there's something that's not discovered, and the week after we close escrow and they move in, instead of a home inspection report that was done 30 days ago and it was dealt with, you got an attorney calling you.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one wants that. No offense to my attorney friends out there.
Yeah, yeah, but, no, and I agree. I mean, with the especially here in Southern California with the cost of homes and everything like that and the amount of money that we spend on houses, to skip an inspection, I think, is a mistake.
Oh, huge mistake.
Yeah, because there could be just that exposed wiring in the attic. There could be that broken ductwork or something. There could be, you know, there could be all any kind of thing. You know, the foundation, like I said, about Palos Verdes, or the spongy floor, or, you know, and you could end up spending thousands of dollars.
Hundreds.
Yeah, and after you've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get into your house, you're going to spend more money, you know, without that inspection, and all of a sudden those little surprises pop up. I agree 100%.
Yeah, I had there was a heating guy. I think it was a tankless water heater.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Were those in the attic sometimes?
No, they can be.
Okay.
Yeah, they can be.
In the attic, and he shows me a video of it, and it was a heating and air guy, not a home inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bright red, like, you know,
glowing.
Metal on fire, glowing, yeah, glowing red.
Wow.
And my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Got that fixed.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Well, I appreciate you, Mike, so much. I think this has been helpful. It's been helpful to me.
Sure.
And I'm in the business, so hopefully it's been helpful to people. You know, there are a lot of people, I'm sure, that would like to have their home inspected who maybe not even selling it or are buying a house.
Sure.
Or selling a house.
Sure.
How would one get a hold of you, Mike?
Well, a couple of different ways. I mean, we have a website, www.npibrea.com, you know, is our
NPI, Nancy Pretty Indian.
Or National Property Inspections.
Ooh, there's a good one. God, I didn't think of that. Okay.
That's how it was, you know, how we came up with it years ago. So there's, you know, website has a plethora of information on there. It has sample videos. It has, you know, things that we inspect. It has all kinds of information. It has some other offers. You know, we're partnering with Thumbtack now, which is a repair estimate type company, which is a new thing in technology in the world and stuff like that. So that's, there's information on our website on there. You know, I give out my cell number and my phone numbers to all the agents and stuff that we work with. I mean, our office number is 714-529-9470. You know, my cell number, 714-936-9110. You know, those are the most direct ways to get a hold of me. But we always encourage clients to go to our website, because the website, you can request a quote on our website. And like I said, there's a plethora of information that really helps people understand and choose. Because a lot of times, you'll know as a realtor, a lot of times you're going to say, well, here's two or three different guys that I would recommend. And that's the nature of the business. And, you know, the website helps people understand who we are and what we provide.
Yeah, know? We do have to, even our counsel, because we have to do the same thing. We have to give them choices and they make the choice and everything.
But, yeah.
You know, that's Mike, thank you so much. And anybody that's who's considering selling or buying and or wants to just have their home inspected. I mean,
correct.
It's probably not a bad idea. Do you get a lot of people calling you that aren't selling or aren't buying?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because we are now offering a product that's called a pre-evaluation, you know, inspection. And it's meant to be for people that are thinking about, they want to fix things. They want to do some repairs around the house, or they want to, you know, do some remodeling. The idea is that because of the complacency that we've talked about, sometimes people don't realize there's some underlying factors that should be addressed before you do the pretty stuff. And the inspection is going to pull that out, you know. And then, like I mentioned as well, with Thumbtack, we now offer a cost repair estimate. So essentially, we can go in and do a pre-evaluation inspection for the client. They can then upload the report into Thumbtack. They'll get a cost estimate repair from Thumbtack. They'll even get, Thumbtack even offers a list of local contractors that will provide, you know, based on the estimates in that cost repair, they'll work for those numbers. So it's really intended to help people that aren't necessarily buying or selling, but want to maybe do some reinvesting in their property. It gives them a good starting point, because one, they're going to get a very thorough inspection report top to bottom of all the conditions that the property has. Then they're going to have a cost estimate repair report that's going to tell them what it's going to cost to fix all that stuff. And it's even going to prioritize what's like a safety related item, or what's, you know, like what would be more of a cosmetic type thing. So it really going to give them a lot of information. So yeah, we're kind of starting with the new year. We're really going to kind of push the pre-evaluation inspections, because it seems like it would be a really good tool for just the general public.
Yeah, just for like, just occurred to me, for a remodel. If anyone's doing a major remodel.
Exactly.
It's obviously, if the wall's going to be open up, let's get these things fixed now.
Exactly.
So I didn't even occur to me. That'd be a great advice to get it done before a remodel. And then It's funny, we do the same thing whenever we're going to get responses. We get an estimate, you know, contract
sure.
Give an estimate. You have
sure.
to have that to know what to ask for.
But yeah.
Well, that's some really, really good advice. Well, hopefully everybody out there, both my mom and dad who are listening, found this very useful. I found it useful. And contact Mike if you have any questions or if you want an inspection.
Sure.
I strongly recommend him. I guess, I don't know, for legal reasons I'm supposed to say that, but I'm going to say it. So
good. Thank you. I appreciate
strongly
it.
Strongly recommend him.
Yeah.
And again, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Daryl. I appreciate it. It was a great experience. Right. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into The Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.